Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are thrilled to have on the phone with us Doc of the Town, Dr. Garrick Olson. He's with the Float Pool. He is a physician with Alina Health, and we are going to talk about virtual visits, video visits, telehealth. I think those are all the same thing, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. First of all, so nice to chat with you. How have you been?
I've been doing a lot of work with COVID things, so I've recently been the curbside nose tester.
Oh, Lord. So those are real doctors that come out, because I had to take little guy through the COVID nose testing station.
I've heard it depends where you go. I know through Alina it's a doctor or a advanced care practitioner, like a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, and in other systems they're finding other ways to do it, like when the National Guard did curbside testing, and then it was a soldier instead of a doctor doing it, and that ended up being a little more uncomfortable for people.
Well, I bet, because that's not their expertise. We could barely tell who the person was, because you look like you're dressed as an astronaut.
Yes, and in mine it's nice because I'm wearing this thing called a capper. I think it stands for something, but it's it leaves my whole face behind a clear shield without a mask over my face, so people can see me speaking and smiling and frowning, and you can see somebody articulating much better.
And those tests are pretty quick. They're pretty accurate.
Very fast. Very accurate. So it only takes a second to do the test. And then we're waiting on the order of, 3 days is probably average, but 2 days is about as fast as I've seen the typical nose testing at the curb.
Yeah, I think it's just great. So that's something we can't do by televisit, right?
No, but interestingly enough, you can interview me by tele. This is exactly what we would do, is telehealth. Here you are, remotely, talking to me, remotely. We're using a phone, which is a device for remote conversation, and it's even what we would call real time, or happening at the same time on both ends. So this would be, in a doctoring world, considered an example of telehealth, if we were doing healthcare.
So I love this. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a visual screen. It can be over the phone.
No, that's true. And somehow we've been doing some of this telehealth, which is the most broad category, because that can include things like people who are at home and have a pacemaker and can have it checked over the phone. Seems kind of interesting to be able to do that, but it saves a commute and waiting in line and finding parking, and they're able to check it remotely. So that's an example of telehealth. But telehealth is the big umbrella that includes those kind of services, but it also might include a doctor visit through a video service. Like you were right, video services are kind of an up-and-coming thing, but the phone services have routinely not been paid for by the insurances. During this pandemic, the insurances have loosened up and said, you know, if this is the only way you can talk to somebody, that's fine. Before, it was exclusively in emergencies, or if there were some other way where it was impossible for the person to become face-to-face.
And what a positive thing for both the patient and the doctor.
It turns out I sure think it is. There are certainly dissenters as you get into topics like this. Some doctors feel like if they're not doing their doctoring work in the traditional way, they're not doing it correctly. And there's a lot of momentum behind that kind of a movement. And there are a lot of insurers that are thinking, okay, we'll approve this during this pandemic because people can't be face-to-face. But once we go back to face-to-face, won't this just be an additional thing that we're paying for instead of a substitute for a face-to-face visit? Right now, they're definitely substitutes for face-to-face visits because, and a lot of times, people don't want to come into an office where sick people might congregate. And the doctors are finding that some of these virtual visits, which would include video or phone, are very, very efficient. We can cut right to the most important part of the matter, and there isn't a lot of the other things that are often falling into the category of what I'd call required but not necessary, where we might not need to check their weight again since we just checked it last month and it's been steady for years.
Or 4 years ago.
Yeah, so 4 years ago we could check up, but we might want to get a fresh one then.
Oh, rats, okay.
But it turns out this is fulfilling a lot of what was told to us when we were in medical school, is that something like 85 to 90% of your diagnosis is going to be in taking the history, hearing the patient's journey through their current illness and how they can describe it. And you may need to ask questions to tease out specific details that might seem not important to a patient, but would be very important to the doctor. And those kind of conversations can yield almost entirely the diagnosis. There may be some value in having blood draws also, or x-rays, or some other consultations, but most of the time the story is what counts. And we can get the story over the phone, and sometimes I feel we can get it even better over a video.
What are the things that we would start out with going for a video? Or how do you call it? A video visit? A virtual visit?
A virtual visit. You know, I think that if you're going to be able to do one of these two things, the virtual visit is going to give you the most information, the best experience. If you don't have a smartphone and you have a telephone, then maybe using just the telephone would work okay too. And if I think back to, you know, 2004, we doctors did a lot of work over the telephone anyway. You know, Mrs. Amel Mahay would call in early September, because every September she gets another sinus infection from her allergies kicked in for 2 weeks, and we'd send in a prescription over the phone. Well, these days you can do something like that with your doctor, except it's more formal. We have a framework for it, and another nice bonus is the doctor can get paid for doing that kind of work.
So is this something that's been around, but now we're really doing it more because of COVID?
Totally true. What you said is so accurate. The telephone part has been around as long as there have been telephones. You know the old doctor joke, take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
Oh, yes.
That's telemedicine. If you think about video medicine, we've had these capabilities. We've been Skyping people for years, decades. We've had a lot of opportunities to use video formats through the phone, but we had problems with the insurance not paying for it, and we couldn't hold out a big part of our day not getting paid to do things when we had to really reserve them for people that were able to bill the insurance. We could keep the lights on in the clinic. We could pay our staff. So we had to refuse to do some other things that were good ideas because the insurance companies weren't paying for them. Now, once COVID hit, the insurance companies agreed, this is a great idea. And it turns out that they're able to pay us a little bit less because our efficiency is so high. So something that might normally have taken 25 minutes, we can get through in a video visit in 15. And it's efficient for the patient, the doctor, and the insurance company is having to pay less and get a similar outcome.
If you hear somebody that's listening right now, what would you say to them? Would you recommend a visit right off the bat? You can't just go to a new doctor with, or can you?
You can.
Okay.
You can do exactly that. And there was a rule through Medicare that said that you can bill for these teleservices only if it's your patient, if you've already established a relationship. But they pulled that rule away during this pandemic. So now you can meet a new doctor. Allina Health has a motto. It's virtual first. And I think it's a good motto to live by in our modern world. If there is some ailment that you're concerned about or some preventative whatever that you want to do, something that's going to need some medical attention, I would recommend doing virtual first. If you have the video capability, that's number one. If you don't, well, the telephone is number two, and it kind of works. But I'd say if you do that first, that's the best option. Now, if it turns out you're in the middle of a video visit and the doctor is looking at you and says, you don't look so good, I think we need to get you in the office because somebody needs to listen to your chest. We need to check your oxygen level. We probably need blood work and maybe even an x-ray. We can't do that stuff over the phone. Then if it's within 24 hours, there's no charge for the video visit. You just get charged for the in-person visit.
How does it work?
It's as simple as calling the clinic for an appointment, just like you always did. You call in and say, I want to make a virtual visit with Dr. Smith, and you're put on the schedule. And Dr. Smith will probably take your call right about your time. Now, sometimes what happens is if we're doing a blended day where some visits are virtual and some visits are in person, like most of us have seen, if something happens early in the day, it can push back the rest of the appointments. So it might be a little bit later, but good news, you're at home. You're on your sofa. You've
right.
got your laptop open. Your smartphone. Usually smartphones are even better than laptops for these things. They just work better. And
so,
you're just waiting. You know, maybe you can feed the cat while you're waiting. We can do stuff. It's not like you're waiting in a doctor's office surrounded by coughing people or nervous about, is my meter going to run out while I'm waiting? It ends up being very convenient. And I can say this from a patient's perspective because I have done this with my doctor trying to get an office visit. I thought I got to try this. So
and it worked?
It was magnificent. When I usually plan on seeing a doctor, I expect that I have to cut out half a day of work. I have to drive someplace, maybe get lost. I have to park someplace, walk in, have to wait, go to the wrong desk, go to the right desk, find a way in, get my stickers, and wait until somebody calls me in. Then once I'm in a room, maybe I'm wearing paper, maybe I'm wearing my clothes, but I got to sit there for a while too. During the video visit, there was none of that. I was able to take a half hour out of my day and continue working the rest of the day and be able to plug in, do my virtual visit, get what I needed, and be able to give everything to the doctor that she needed. And I was able to get the care that I needed so efficiently. And I'm pretty sure that that cost the system less, like my insurance company paid less for that, even though it was more convenient and easier to do.
Are all doctors capable of doing virtual visits?
Right now, within the Allina system, everyone has been given the opportunity and capability to do virtual visits. There are some doctors that feel like there's no benefit in it. It's going to take away from the doctor-patient relationship and are somewhat refusing to do it. And I'm sure they have their reasons. But I feel this is just like when the automobile came around. There were some people that thought, well, I'll just stick with the horse. Thank you very much. And if we don't move forward and embrace telehealth, I think that a lot of us are going to be left behind.
You know, I know that certainly with computers and everything and with technology, if you're in the emergency room, let's say you were maybe having a heart attack or you were having a stroke. I know a lot of times this was deployed right then to help diagnose people to see if they could stay at Regina or if they should go to a different hospital. So yes. Is this an extension of that?
It's a little bit different. Exactly what you're saying falls under the whole telehealth concept. But Regina was one of the first nearby hospitals that embraced this whole telehealth consult with a stroke neurologist about managing stroke patients. We were cutting edge at Regina. And it turned out that we were able to spare a lot of people a transfer to the cities to find out that they didn't need hospitalization after they finally got their whole workup with a neurologist. So that was the greatest benefit. We were able to avoid putting people through a lot of time, effort, and risk by getting this telehealth in and having a stroke expert be able to go through the chart, go through the patient's experience, go over the CAT scan of the patient, and stop them from needing any further. Now, if they needed further, then we would have an easy open door to getting that patient into a designated stroke center in the cities and getting them the best care possible. So what you're describing with telehealth that way is just an excellent example. I remember back when I was in residency in 1998 that I would periodically do a weekend working at Long Prairie, Minnesota. And I remember there was this one little room there where they had a big tube TV and they had a big video camera on top of it and they had these plug-in stethoscopes and some other stuff there. They were already then experimenting with telehealth to see if there was a way to get some people care in somewhat remote places. Long Prairie is a pretty remote area. It's very rural, a delightful community, and I really enjoyed working there. But even back then, there were some efforts put forth to see how can we increase the level of care for people, even in places where there aren't those types of doctors available. We're doing some other experiments with this now. For example, I just went through the training, oh golly, it's probably 2 months ago now, for taking care of COVID patients or other patients in United Hospital if we were to have a big surge of hospitalized patients. And while I was in there, I was talking with the hospitalist that was teaching me about all this. And he was talking about how in the COVID unit, where it's sealed off, I mean, really sealed off, we walked by, there was sheetrock up that was taped. It was in a negative pressure area. It was really well put together. But then even the doctors that were going in there were finding that if they had something like an iPad or one of these tablets, that they could talk to the patient through glass and not have to gown up and put on the air hood and put on two layers of gloves and the plastic apron and go in to do something that was most valuable in the conversation, reviewing their vitals and reviewing their day of how they've been recovering. So even in the hospital from 12 feet away, we're using telehealth taking care of COVID patients.
What do patients think of all of this?
Most patients really like having the flexibility. And there are some people that are a little old school and they're saying, they're making me do this stupid video thing when all I want to do is just see my doctor. And to those people, I'd say, you're right, give it a shot. If it's not for you, maybe you will get better care going in and seeing your doctor face to face, but you're also taking on more risk doing that. I mean, the risk of just getting in a car crash on the way is meaningful risk. And you don't have that risk if you do it as a virtual visit first.
Do you think that virtual visit health is going to be taught in medical schools?
Yes, I'm confident it will. I think it's going to be a part of at least the curriculum in residencies, because we've already gotten some other extra training as doctors these days who are well beyond our residencies about how to do video visits. Some of it may be a little intuitive to people that do Skyping or Zooming right now. I mean, one thing we were taught to do is look at the camera. Don't look at your keyboard. Make it, you know, so that you're looking at a person. Another bonus is you're not wearing a mask when you're doing the video visit. And people can see the expression on your face, and you can see the patient's expression a little more clearly. And we all know that body language is a great deal of how we communicate. So I think that there is some etiquette that we need to learn about this, and I expect that that will be part of at least residency, if not medical school. One other big event that we're seeing happen is that we're doing something called hospital at home. So these are people who are recovering in the hospital, but then we find that once a day we peek in on them, they're recovering, they still need some attention from nursing, but really they could be cared for at home with an upregulated service. For example, a daily nurse visit and maybe a doctor visit every 3 days virtually. So we're able to clear people out of a hospital room so that it can be used by someone else who's more sick. We're able to get them into their own home where we know people heal faster, and we're able to still do their visits and take care of them, but virtually. I think that's a tremendous help. What I'm predicting is that a lot of these innovations that we've been forced to make during this COVID era will stick. I think we're going to see some pushback from some conventionalists who say, oh good, now that's over with, let's go back to the old way. I think we're going to see some insurance companies that are going to start to say, we're not going to pay for that. We're going to make it more difficult for you to do what you want to do to help our patient and see if that deters you from submitting some charges. And another great thing that's happening right now is a lot of this is driving some of the successes of the accountable care organizations, including some of the experiments where a group is looking at taking care of a whole population. This can lend to tremendous efficiency and cost savings, and that's what a lot of the accountable care organizations are about, improving cost, improving patient experience, and improving outcomes. And I think telehealth gives us an opportunity to do all three of those things, and that'll help bolster how we care for patients now and going forward.
Love it. Doc of the town, Dr. Garrick Olson. He is a physician with Allina Health, and this was a fascinating topic.
If you have an Allina connection and you want to try a virtual visit, I would highly recommend it. See if your doctor will do it with you, and you will enjoy the efficiency.
Thanks so much, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth, Doc of the Town, on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.